Welcome back to the DeCesare Group Podcast. I'm your host, Jim DeCesare, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're diving into a major development announced in June that marks a new chapter in regional healthcare. Joining me today is Mike Duramo, CEO of Graves Gilbert Clinic, to discuss an alliance between GGC Health and Ascension St. Thomas, a formal, clinically integrated partnership designed to transform how outpatient care is delivered across South Central Kentucky. This collaboration brings two trusted healthcare organizations to create a new outpatient center system focused on high quality, affordable, and accessible care. The alliance will expand diagnostic and treatment services, support clinical research, and open new doors for physicians and healthcare professionals across the region. In this episode, Mike breaks down what the partnership means for patients, providers, and the future of healthcare in our community, and why this step forward matters more now than ever. Here's my conversation with Mike Duramo. Mike, welcome back to the DeCesare Group Podcast.
Hey, Jim.
We were sitting here talking a little bit ago. You're one of our few repeat podcast guests. So
I am honored.
You are special.
Yeah, being new to the community, I who knows? Maybe again, it's an Italian thing, right?
Yeah, maybe that's it. So hey, how long have you been living in Bowling Green, South Central Kentucky?
Almost
now?
2 years to the day.
Yeah, but you have made quite an impact since you've been here. Been on the DeCesare Group Podcast twice. Yeah.
What can I tell you?
It's, doing great things at Graves Gilbert Clinic, including the partnership with the Ascension St. Thomas. Tell us a little bit about that, the high level. What does this collaboration mean for the patients and families in our community?
You know, there's a lot there. Graves Gilbert, their market's changed pretty dramatically over the last 20 years. I mean, you know, if you go back in time, it was pretty much a downtown Bowling Green practice. Mm-hmm. And then about 15 years ago, they started to grow out where now they're kind of in the Brad region. They're in about 11, 12 of the 14 counties.
Yeah.
And it's no longer just a Bowling Green Warren County practice. So we've got a nice family practice group down in Franklin, and they get a lot of that Tennessee patient base that's looking for primary care. Yeah. So we consider that Northern Tennessee, that White House, Portland, that's starting to become more and more our market.
Yeah.
As well as the needs of the state. We had a nice chat in Frankfurt today about, hey, this is how the dynamic of insurance and patients and needs are changing in Kentucky. And it really kind of tells you, hey, you better be prepared for change.
Yeah.
So what I'm used to, at least historically, is pretty robust hospital partnerships. You know, we try to find hospitals that are what I would call physician friendly. We try to find hospitals that are interested in innovation, you know, and maybe running experiments and taking some risk. I left that behind when I came to BG.
Yeah.
And we found a partner in Ascension St. Thomas with that reputation. If you talk to many of the physician groups in Northern Tennessee, they'll say, oh, great group. Their CEO is very pro-doctor, doesn't fear having the doctors in leadership positions. And I had actually known Fahad Tahir as a consultant. Now, when I was his consultant years and years and years ago, I'm thinking, gosh, 12, 13, he actually ran the medical group for St. Thomas. So he actually came out of that doctor space.
Yeah.
And our doctors like him a lot. He just speaks their language, and it started a very good conversation.
So, and of course, this is going to, as you mentioned, have a regional impact. So, is Graves Gilbert doing work in Middle Tennessee now, or the Middle Tennessee coming to Graves Gilbert?
The intention was to get Middle Tennessee to come to Graves Gilbert.
Okay.
Right? And what it's going to end up being is a little of both.
Okay.
You know, part of the dilemma we have in South Central Kentucky is it's growing much faster than we and our hospital partners can meet the demand. I mean, it's just
And we've crazy. Seen the numbers of the growth that's expected between now and 2050.
That's right. And it's significant.
Right.
And so our ability to bring physicians and other providers to the community has been a bit bit testy. Mm-hmm. And I think I speak for all of us. I mean, we're all trying to get that talent. MedCenter Health had the UK partnership. Again, right. Good strategy. Let's get those Lexington folks to come to Bowling Green.
Yep. Some of those med students are here.
Absolutely. And so we have those partnerships, and St. Thomas is part of that discussion, because I'm not going to be able to recruit a deep subspecialist, right?
Right.
Just, hey, this guy who's a cardiothoracic surgeon who does left lungs. I mean, that's not someone who's going to thrive in a private practice.
Right.
But I can certainly bring that high-end surgeon or that high-end specialist to Bowling Green, put them in a Graves-Gilbert environment, and give Bowling Green access to that doctor.
Yeah.
And if it requires something more significant, fine, they go on to Nashville. But our preference is to take care of them right here.
In the marketing world, we call that white labeling.
I
mean, you're building collaborations because, you know, that's good for business.
White label is a great term for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time in all industries, not just the healthcare industry as well. One of the goals of this partnership is to make care more convenient and easier to access, as you just mentioned. So what kind of improvements might people in South Central Kentucky notice over time as this starts to form?
You know, we had a patient situation the other day. He was a gentleman from Glasgow. He had
we call it Glasgow around here.
That's right. We're not in Scotland, are we?
Yeah. I know you're fond of Scotland.
Big time. It's my second favorite country. Yeah. We had a patient that needed special care. He had a unique heart condition. Not an older gentleman, man. I don't know, 60 maybe. Anyway, at the end of the day,
he's not older anymore.
It's like middle age, right?
Yeah.
That relationship we had with St. Thomas, we were able to facilitate this special, unique problem to the right person in the right place and got a really good outcome.
That's fantastic.
So if you think about it, our goal is, again, all right, how do I give patients access locally? You know, and that's why we talk to the Norton Children's and other groups to say, hey, mom doesn't want to bring the kid to Louisville or Lexington or wherever.
Right.
St. Thomas is that same premise. They've got a lot of great skill set, and whether surgeons, medical specialists, how do I weave that talent into the great doctors I already have and give that patient I can see this doctor tomorrow.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh gosh, I got to drive and I got to make special appointments and I got to skip work and all of those things that that we face.
So, you know, what I'm hearing is convenience and access.
Access is a big deal, Jim.
It's a huge deal. So, and expanding on that a little bit, talking about bringing more physicians and specialists into the region as a priority, how will that what's the long-term impact on a community like ours, especially with the growth that we know we're going to have and the people that are already here? I mean, I remember in 1992 when I moved here, we've doubled in size.
Yeah.
I mean, things are exploding around here. So talk about that.
You know, there's two ways I'm going to respond to that.
Sure.
If you look at if you let's back up. If you interview your neighbor, my neighbor, and say, "All right, well, why did you go to Nashville? Why'd you go to Louisville for something that we could have done locally?" Mm-hmm. And the answer is pretty universal, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the answer sounds something like this. I really love Dr. fill in the blank, mm-hmm. but they have a, you know, spine institute down there and it's soup to nuts care and it's got a great reputation and I feel they're going to navigate me through my entire ordeal.
Yeah.
It's not just a patient doctor discussion anymore, right? It's a process. Mm-hmm. It is a navigation. And I think we as a community need to get better at that. How do I hand off Jim from Dr. A to Dr. B to Dr. C, if so necessary?
Right.
The other is the marketing piece. And I'll use my Toledo experience. I mean, this is your realm now.
Okay.
I had 10 of some of the best medical oncologists in the state of Ohio. But they had an office and they were good reputation. But if someone, God forbid, got cancer, and one of our doctors was taking care of them, guess what the patient response typically was? Well, I think I should probably go over to Cleveland Clinic and get a second opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. So much of the same strategy is how did I get Cleveland Clinic or Karmanos Cancer Institute or one of those entities
or MD Anderson.
How do I get them to come to a Toledo?
Right.
And that's what we did. We partnered with Karmanos Cancer Institute, which is a well-known cancer program in Detroit. Mm-hmm. They planted, combined with us, we built a building, and now you had the best medical oncologist with one of the best hospital-based cancer institutes right there in Maumee, Ohio. And guess what?
Same people. same doctors.
Same everything, but all of a sudden
that name change.
That need to drive to Cleveland, Detroit, Ann Arbor, Michigan stopped. Yeah. And the lesson there was obvious, right? The patient wants to know there's more to the care process than just simply that office visit.
Yeah.
And so we're going to try to accommodate that.
Awesome.
In this relationship.
Well, that's fantastic. And that's good to hear too, because you know, I know people that have, you know, we used to drive to Cincinnati with our daughter for pediatric rheumatology.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up going to Nashville, you know, and it's just because you hear it's the best or, yeah. You know,
they got a program,
the best program. That's right. That, you know, we have great doctors here that right. can pretty much serve any need you have.
We do. And, you know, they're entrenched in the community. They're entrenched in the local hospitals, but the patient is now the modern consumer, right?
Yep.
And then as a consumer, and in the case, especially in pediatrics, right? I mean, yeah. Any of us who've had children with special needs,
right,
or medical conditions, you're going to, oh, geez, well, I love my pediatrician, but I'm going to head on up to University of Cincinnati, or yeah. I'm going to go to Vanderbilt, or, you know, it just because you want to think there's 10 people taking care of your child.
Yeah.
You know? And Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, I get it. So the partner, this is the question I've been waiting to ask. It includes opportunities for research and education. How could this benefit local providers, students, and even patients who want access to the latest treatments? But the research part's, I think, super cool.
It's, you know, exposing community physicians to clinical trials, to counterparts that are doing cutting-edge research, I think is important, right? A lot of our younger physicians, they want that intellectual camaraderie. Mm-hmm. They want to know that whatever they're doing is, you know, state-of-the-art.
Yeah.
Right? That, hey, I wasn't trained that way 10 years ago, but I'm going to try and keep up. So having that institutional research, institutional trials goes a long way to accommodating that doctor who wants to stay in front of medicine. Mm-hmm. So that helps.
Yeah.
The other is, how do I draw learners and residents to the community? Again, we have a UK presence with the hospital here in town. Great. That's again, a great strategy.
Right.
But I still want to get the Pikeville students here. I still want to get the Louisville students mm-hmm. here. And University of Tennessee, Belmont, I'll take all of those residents and learners and place them in Bowling Green with the hope is that they'll know what I know. It's a pretty cool place to live.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll stick around after I finish my training.
There's patients here.
That's right. That's right. I get acclimated to a Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yep.
And now it's not, oh gosh, I've been here 2 years training with Dr. So-and-so. Let's stick around for a while.
Yeah.
And that's our hope. But I'm sure that was the UK Med Center hope was that, hey, if I can get them here, we can keep them here. And I hope that's working because we sure need them.
Yeah, it is. And I can say firsthand that with my rheumatologist, who's a Graves Gilbert physician, he has a resident with him on a regular basis, you know, so I've met a lot of nice people through the program. So
that St. Thomas relationship allows us to expand that academic medical center outreach. Mm-hmm. They're already assisting us with our, KICOM Pikeville relationship.
Yep.
How do I extend those learners to other training locations? Well, come on down to Gallatin. We promise not to steal them. We'll train them in OBGYN, for example.
So, which is, there's always a need for that.
Oh, yes. I mean, we talked about that this morning in Frankfurt, is how difficult it may be to get OB to come to our market,
yeah.
Right? And so we got to make it easy for them.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So at the heart of this agreement is a promise to keep healthcare both high quality and affordable. So how does this partnership deliver on that for local families and businesses? Expand on that.
Well, the essence of the St. Thomas relationship is the development of more outpatient care. Now, I know that sounds a little counterintuitive because, oh, hey, isn't St. Thomas a big hospital system? But the nature of how they've developed their programs is, yes, we're a hospital, but we benefit when that patient needs a hospital. And if they come to us for things that really aren't hospitalizations, that's not good for the patient or for the hospital. Mm-hmm. So what they're helping us develop really is an outpatient strategy. You know, what are the things that we could and should be doing for patients without bringing them through the emergency room, bring them into the hospital, and keeping costs down? So there's a lot of things that drive cost. One is obviously hospitalizations, unnecessary hospitalizations, a big cost driver. Pharmacy, big cost driver. So how do I partner with a 13 hospital system to drive down drug cost? How do I give more access to imaging? Because the minute you have to enter a hospital to get a simple MRI, well, price goes up.
Yeah. Right?
So we're looking to them to help us with, again, what we call an ambulatory or an outpatient strategy.
And, you know, so many things now that used to be you have to spend the night or two in a hospital, you can go home that day.
Yeah.
And, I know firsthand. And that's a good thing, you know, not having to stay in a hospital and being able to stay at home and recover there, or not have to go to the emergency room. Going back to the research and education, the other thing I wanted to ask about was technology. And the reason I bring this up, I went and had my teeth cleaned this week. And every time I go in there, they've got a new gadget. You know, it used to be they had this thing that when they take the x-rays, they pull it off the wall and they, you know, they move it. Now they got a little handheld gun device, you know, and so talk about the technology part of all this as well. What kind of new technology will be a part of this collaboration? But not just that. I mean, y'all are doing a lot of good things at Graves Gilbert Clinic as well, staying on top of the trends with the latest and greatest equipment.
You know, it's a couple comments. One is the dentists always kick our butts. You know, they seem to figure out what we should figure out about 10 years in advance, you know, and I brag about my dentist all the time because he's, like you said, I get 3 text messages a week.
If I
miss an appointment, he's already reached in my wallet. So, I mean, it just, you know, it's, they've refined.
Our doctors are good at that too.
So part of that is, as you said, Jim, is how does an institutional system bring tech to Bowling Green? Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about a lot of the modalities, for example. How do we get the latest and greatest breast MRI, PET CT to improve cancer care? How do we do these things in an outpatient environment so we keep the cost down?
Right.
How do we make it more accessible? You know, are we open 6 days? And so that technology not only needs to be available, but it needs to be accessible.
Yeah.
Right. It's one thing to say, hey, I've got the latest and greatest
and
tech.
Affordable.
And affordable. Thank you. It's one thing to say I have the latest tech, but you can only get to it on Sunday afternoons. It really, okay. Right. So you really got to come at it from both angles. A great example is our partnership in cardiology. Instead of us, all right, every 5, 7, 10 years, we got to go out and buy a new piece of equipment. Now we can be part of a purchasing consortium that allows us to access latest and greatest equipment and technology as part of that purchasing consortium. Mm-hmm. Sharing of data, sharing of images. Right. So now, whether it's AI, whether it's like, hey, I've got an image of Mike, I'm going to send it down to my my supercomputer here in Nashville, and then we're going to do a second assessment of that image.
Right.
So all of those things, I think, are going to benefit Bowling Green in the long run.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I remembered about technology is the first time I didn't have to have my x-ray on film, you know, hanging on a wall going, oh, look at there. Now they just bring it up on a screen.
Well, you know, unless your insurance company wanted to see the image, right?
Yeah. So anyhow, you know, this collaboration, what other things are you working on that you can tell us about? I know there's a lot of moving parts to what you do at Graves Gilbert Clinic and what Graves Gilbert Clinic is involved with. But I also know there, you know, you got to stay on top of things and you've got to develop these relationships. Is there anything else that's going on that you want to tell our listeners about?
Yeah, we've done a few things. We've ventured into the rural health clinic business, for lack of a better term. You know, we keep asking ourselves now that we're in 11, 12 counties instead of one or two. What should we be doing in Franklin better? What should we be doing in Cave City better?
Yeah.
So all of these sites now are evolving from traditional practices or just, you know, small access centers to true rural health clinics, which, as you may know, offer a more robust service line, mm-hmm. right? And it's, they're a little more complex to run. They're like, almost like mini hospitals without beds far as compliance, but the patient should get more resources and get a better experience within that construct. We're reaching out to the academic medical centers, right? To your point, how do I bring Pikeville to Bowling Green? How do I bring Louisville to Bowling Green? Getting involved with those academic medical centers so they have what we call a GME hub in Bowling Green is a big deal for us.
Yeah.
We talked again this morning at the state meeting is, you know, how do we manage the Medicaid population more creatively?
Yeah.
How do we use technology to be better providers within Kentucky? So we're having that conversation. And probably one of my favorite projects that we're working on is working with Western Kentucky on being better data scientists, mm-hmm. right? You know, one of the, I mean, I can't speak for the hospitals, but we all kind of complain that, hey, you know what? It's always frustrating when an insurance company can tell me more about me than I can tell about me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why do I got to go to a third party to assess myself?
Uh-huh.
Well, what's nice about our Western partnership is as they bring in their data science program for their new doctoral initiative, you know, Graves Gilbert's like, well, I got more data than I know what to do with. Maybe you can tell me more.
Yeah.
And that partnership is starting to evolve into a true health informatics discussion. And so we're excited about that too.
That's awesome. That's a lot of great things happening. Yeah. And talking about your rural patients, all those areas you mentioned, all those counties, this podcast airs on WGGC radio every Sunday morning at 7. And, you know, it covers all those markets. And I know from hearing from folks that a lot of our rural listeners listen to us on the radio at 7, mainly in those, you know, Simpson County, Hart County, Edmondson County. You know, those are the areas that I know you are diving into. And, you know, they need health care just like everybody else. And I think one of the most important things, and I'm not a physician, but I'm somewhat of a healthcare advocate because I believe everybody should have a primary care physician.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe everybody should go get checked out at least once a year. And I also believe if your check engine light comes on, you go get it checked out.
Yeah. Don't avoid that.
And that way you stick around a lot longer.
Yeah, I, you know, it's funny you bring that up, Jim. I was trying to make that analogy the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I half jokingly said, maybe we should start having physical checkups when you get your oil change.
Yeah.
You know, because folks will put more time and effort into keeping their car functional than they will themselves. We've got to come up with a better mechanism.
Well, there, you can use that.
That's right.
You can use my analogy. When your check engine light comes on, go get it checked
that's
out.
That's it. That's it. You get that 5,000-mile oil change, it's time.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, we all have aches and pains or something that changes in our body. And, and if it's nagging or sticks around for a week or so, that light's on. Go get it checked out.
And Jim, forgive me, but I forgot to mention another but a project that's important to us as helps our rural community.
Mm-hmm.
The new leadership at Taylor Regional Hospital in Campbellsville reached out.
Taylor County.
And so, you know, being new to Kentucky, I'm like, where in the heck is Taylor Regional Hospital?
Campbellsville University.
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah. But, you know, again, I have a voyage of discovery here, right?
Sure.
So everyone says, well, you look at Kentucky and look right in the middle of the state. There it is. Well, their CEO reached out a few weeks ago and said, you know, is there a way we can do more together? So we met yesterday, and lo and behold, we came up with about 10 good projects. But what's important to this discussion is where could we collaborate that's meaningful to both of us? And as you get into Hart County, as you get into Mumfordville and those areas, we realize, well, that's kind of an epicenter for both of us.
Yeah.
And can we do more with this rural health clinic and maybe combine resources in those markets where patients have more access? So that discussion was yesterday, and we're pretty excited about it. We like this new guy. He's a pretty thoughtful, innovative guy.
Yeah, and so then you're capturing folks in Greene County and Barron County and Hart County and Adair County. I mean, so you're yeah. venturing over into sort of some new areas, but still less than an hour away if
yep.
they need something a little more comprehensive than what's provided there.
That's right.
And that's what it's, you know, accessibility.
That's it. That's it.
All right. Before I let you go, there's been some big announcements recently about the Graves Gilbert Clinic and Humana parting ways. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think the important thing is that Graves Gilbert continues to work and communicate with Humana. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem's multifold, and in all fairness to the parties, I think everyone needs to understand it's some of this is architecture and some of this is carpentry, right? The architecture problem is we've designed managed care in such a way that it's really not a tenable economic model. So in the case of a Humana, it's a very typical construct. It's a publicly traded, for-profit, shareholder-focused, and so quarterly earnings are really what they're designed to focus on.
Sure.
Okay, that's by design. The problem is that, you know, when you take an insurance company and convert them from a policyholder to shareholder model, policyholder is usually the one who gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
And so we've had a number of dilemmas with managed care in general, but in this case, Humana was, let's just say, ahead of their peers.
Gotcha. That's a nice way of saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's the emotional part of this relationship was, hey, they reached into the Graves Gilbert pocketbook, helped themselves to a few $100,000, didn't bother to say why, and didn't bother to tell us.
Yeah.
All right, so that's an emotional response. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, you could have called us and told us there was a problem. We could have had an audit.
Yeah.
But instead, you decided, I'll just keep your money and have a nice day. So that was issue one. Issue two is in the modern era, a lot of the doctors are paid for that value-based care, mm-hmm. right? And you're saying, hey, if I help you, Humana, if I help you save money, if I help you raise your quality indicators, because the higher your quality indicators, higher your stars rating,
yeah.
the more money the federal government's going to give you. So they're trying to incent us to help them save money, help them raise their stars so they can get more federal dollars.
And those federal dollars are for Medicaid, Medicare
Correct.
Folks.
Correct.
Yeah.
Specifically in the Medicare Advantage space.
Yeah.
So it's you get these report cards. And the report cards are always, boy, you know, it's like the old Get Smart episode. Remember
yeah.
that?
Hell
hey,
yeah.
Mike, you missed it by that much. and in the meantime, you realize I've just helped this organization save millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But between the thresholds and the ambiguity and the information, you're always just outside the mark. In the meantime, doctors are working their tails off to meet these goals.
Right.
And they never seem, obtainable. And so, all right, now you're clawing my money back. Now you're giving me data I don't trust and I'm not getting paid for. And then there's no representation in South Central Kentucky, right? I mean, I've met executives from Aetna to WellCare, right? And they come down, they realize that Bowling Green is an important Kentucky market. Physical presence, dedicated liaisons. Heck, I didn't even know who the executives Humana were until we sent a termination notice.
Yeah.
So those are really the three principal concerns. All that said, of course, we're working to find a way to have a contract that we're both pleased with.
Gotcha.
I mean, and we've got until the end of January. Our hope is we get this tidied up sooner than later.
So the things I heard were credibility is important to you.
Yes.
Customer relationship management is important to you. And having someone come and talk to you every now and then is important to you.
All the above.
Yeah.
All the above. You don't think it's much.
But it's important.
But here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyhow, this has been a great conversation.
Yeah.
And I appreciate all the stuff that's going on with Ascension St. Thomas and all the great collaboration that's going on with Graves Gilbert Clinic and all the programs that you're working on to provide rural health. So, Mike, thanks for being on the DeCesare Group podcast.
Jim, I appreciate you having me, especially the second time. I feel honored.
There may be a third.
Okay. All right.
Thanks again to Mike Duramo, CEO of Graves Gilbert Health, for joining us this week on the DeCesare Group podcast, and thank you for checking us out, too. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review and share your feedback with us as well. You can also follow the DeCesare Group across all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. You can even subscribe to our weekly newsletter, Soki Economic Development and Business News, by going to our website, thedecesaregroup.com. The DeCesare Group podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer and doctor of sound is Justin DeCesare, with content contributions from Brooke Mattingly. The DeCesare Group podcast is written and researched by Amy DeCesare. I'm Jim DeCesare, inviting you to join us again next time for the DeCesare Group podcast.